And we're continuing the history interview with Lena Herman. It's still July 16th, 2005. So I guess I had this confused with another basket, but there was a basket of, I don't know what organization it was, but it showed up in a couple of places around campus, and I saw it in town as well in the 2 weeks or so before the raffle took place.
You know, I think I've heard of that. I didn't see the basket, but I think the one of the sororities in town have used that for a money-making thing, and have been there. But that would be a good way of getting more people to come to the brunch, too, if we had that.
So now, in this Delta Kappa Gamma, you don't have to be a graduate of Eastern.
No.
Well,
no.
What is the criteria to belong? You have to be a college graduate, or
teacher, and you have to be currently teaching to be, you know, a retired teacher. You can stay in after you have taught. You can stay in, but retired teachers aren't invited to join the district.
They
never belong. No, after a teacher, and now then they have to have taught 3 years to be eligible to be invited to join. Now, at the time I went in, which was 50 years ago this year, you had to teach 5 years to be eligible.
Oh.
But now it's 3 years.
So there's always been a teaching requirement as part of it.
Yeah, but it's for kindergarten, close to college, any teacher.
Any level of teacher.
Any level.
Mm-hmm. Would that include vocational or technical?
Yes, it would.
If we had them in the area?
Yes, it would.
Do you also belong to the Retired Educators Association? Is that a state group or a local group?
Well, we have a Union County Retired Teachers Association, but we belong to the state organization.
It's an offshoot of that.
Yeah.
What does the Retired Educators Association do in this area?
They meet once a month for a luncheon meeting out at Denny's, and then usually have a speaker or something like that, of that sort.
Do they raise money for any particular cause? Just kind of a social group?
It is really more of that.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this. I wanted your perspective, and I wanted to talk about this. That I may have other things, you know. I'll be doing some researching, and you know, I love this little neck of the woods up here. You might see me pester you now and then, but I'm interested in talking a little bit about this little system of trade you have going on with some of your extended relative groups here. It's this thing with your cherries and that sort of thing. I want you to tell us about that. Because that's a very that's something that I instantly recognize as part of Native tradition and culture, is that we trade items back and forth, and we might actually do a little bit of traveling to do that. For example, my father just took a drum that he made to this shop over in Umatilla.
Oh.
Because that man knew my late grandmother for 40 or more years, and they did a lot of trading and enabling back and forth. So tell me a little bit about this. I'm interested to get this on the record about this trading you got going on about
cherries
and others.
Well, our grandson's in-laws have a big cherry orchard in Hood River Valley. It's quite a big operation that they have, and they're just very generous people. It's a Japanese family, and they have invited us several years now just to come down and get cherries. And whenever we go, I always take about 20 dozen cookies down for the workers who are around there working. When I come in, well, she'll tell everybody, she'll kind of ring a little bell or something, stop them, and she says, "Here's the cookie lady," and tell them gotcha. So they are all, you know, they're looking forward to that. But then for the past 3 years, they have friends in Ontario that have been coming down to Hood River for cherries too. But they as the veteran, would we bring their cherries up here, and they'd just come down here and get them, which would be just halfway, because it's 200 miles on to Hood River, and it's about 175 on over to Ontario. So if they can come down here and get them, it just cuts theirs almost in half to come down. And so so that's what they've done. They come down, and they enjoy coming down and visiting. We've gotten acquainted with them that way. And every year he'll say, well, see you again cherry season next year.
Uh-huh. Now, as I understand it, were there some health reasons that that person needed to cut their trip to Hood River down so they can't drive?
I think quite a bit. He has glaucoma,
uh-huh.
And he drives around a little bit at home, but out on the road very far, he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, they didn't come down here. His son came down here and got their cherries for them,
mm-hmm.
because he wasn't... We'll be 90 his next birthday, I guess. And so it's...
So he's just young.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, an interesting thing, his wife never says he's 89 years old. She always says, he'll be 90 his next birthday. Every year it's always, but he will be his next birthday.
Oh,
she never refers to it as...
So she'll be getting started on 91 here.
Yeah, she will.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
But they're very... very nice, interesting couple to visit with.
Yeah.
And their two sons, I don't know how many they've got, but there are two of them that went to Eastern here.
Their children went
and
to Eastern.
And this one, the son that came down here and got their cherries, retired here
uh-huh.
a couple of years ago, and he taught in Ontario all the time.
So, this, I don't know what you think about it. I think the system of trade is a pretty good deal.
It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is.
Does anything get sent back the other way?
Well,
just wondered.
Always when they would come down here after their cherries, they would bring us, potatoes or onions or something from on over there.
In their neighborhood.
I think they didn't get anything on down the other way.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I imagine they did when they went to Hood River after their stuff they took some.
Tell me about your daughter being born at St. Joseph Hospital. I have some notes here that talks about you getting out of the hospital early, talking to the doctor, talking your way out of the 9-day flat on your back thing.
Yeah.
And tell us also about this belly button band and escaping from the hospital early.
Well, back in those days, women stayed in bed for 10 days and just, stayed on your back for 10 days. And, of course, that was kind of right during baby boom time by the seventh day that I was there, there was beds out in the hall. They were just filled up and crowded, and there was beds out in the hall. When the doctor came in, I said, I think I'd ought to get up and go home and let somebody else have my room because you're too filled up out there. And he said, well, would you have anybody with you when you went home? And I told him, well, yes, my mother would be there. And he said, well, you can go home. So I get up and went down the hall and used call Buck on the phone and I said, could you come get me? And he said, sure, who is this?
But eventually he did come and get me.
But then he came and got me.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Now, you said that it was common that you stayed in the hospital for 10 days.
Yeah.
Now, what did you women think about that? I assume that there were some others nearby that you could discuss this technique with. Did you believe in it then?
You didn't know any different. And of course, to me, that was great because I didn't get along quite so well when Bill was born, and I was in the hospital 16 days.
Uh-huh.
So the 10 was okay. But
it was just a brief vacation.
Yeah,
it
was just,
uh-huh.
just brief.
Uh-huh.
But no, that was just a thing, after you'd had the baby, why you stay in bed for 10 days. And as far back as I've heard people talk about it, why that was kind of the way it was. Now then, they can have their baby and get up and go home the same day. A lot of them do. Yeah. Some of, at least the next day they do.
But you didn't think, you didn't think to question or talk about that?
I didn't ever thought about question. I just
know.
Thought it was going to be 10 days.
Uh-huh.
And when I mentioned that to her, and why didn't I go home and let somebody else have my bed, why, I really didn't expect him to say yes.
But, yeah. But, about this belly button band? What was that
about? Well, it used to be they always put a band on a baby, and it would be about so wide, and it would go around them, and it was supposed to be so that their belly button wouldn't pooch out.
Pooch out.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they just used to...
Did your children have that?
You know, not for very long, if they ever did, but I don't remember ever putting a band on them.
But that was commonly
but that
done
was a
at,
common
that
thing.
Time, at that time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Now, were you teaching when you had your daughter?
No, I didn't go back to teaching until she was about 5.
Do you recall from the time when you were teaching, was maternity leave different than it is now? Were you expected to come right back to work? Were you expected to take more time off of work if you were having a baby?
You know, I don't remember about that, and I don't remember anyone, I would say Willow, and I don't remember when we were taking maternity leave, so I don't know.
They would have a baby and just come right back to work then?
Yeah, probably. Actually, I don't remember any of them having babies during the time they were teaching.
Oh.
Because it used to be that they probably, if they were pregnant, they wouldn't stay teaching after they were 3 months or so along. You know, it wouldn't be a common thing like now where they might teach up till the time for the baby to be born.
Oh, they might stop earlier?
They would stop way earlier.
Stop earlier, I see. Mm-hmm. How many chapters of the Eastern Star are there
In Union County?
Uh-huh.
4. The one here in La Grande is Hope Chapter. The one in Elgin is Blue Mountain Chapter. The one at Cove is Cherry Chapter. And the one at Union is Renon Valley Chapter. So there's the four of them.
There's 4 chapters in this county. Now, exactly what is the Eastern Star, and what is their purpose?
Well, in a way, you could say it's the auxiliary of the Masonic Lodge. It's a women's organization, but men belong to it, too.
Uh-huh.
They can belong. Women don't belong to... women can't be Masons. They can't belong to the Masonic order. But Eastern Star is for the women and men. And, in fact, they've got to have a couple of men in there because they've got to have a worthy patron and associate patron.
So which are male role?
There has to be that.
Uh-huh.
And then a complete chapter requires 18. And so you've got your officers and your line officers and then 5 star points that represent the 5 different lessons of the order.
Mm-hmm. Is this a fraternal organization or a religious organization?
Not religious, it's a fraternal organization.
Okay.
And then they do a lot of money raising. They raise a lot of money for cancer research and the Heart Association and then ESTARL is for Eastern Star Training for Religious Leadership, and so they give quite a bit of money for, and that's not for any particular denomination or anyone, but for anyone that's doing anything in religious training. It could be music or going into the teaching profession or whatever.
Mm-hmm. How long have you belonged to this?
Probably about 40 years.
So you began as an adult with this organization then?
Yeah, I did.
Then?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have you held officerships or
all
positions
of
all of the officerships you've held?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've been worthy matron twice. And Buck was my worthy patron both times. He's been worthy patron three times.
Mm-hmm. What does that involve? You get a trip to town and a burger, or what does that person do? I'm not making light of it. I have no knowledge of what.
Eastern Star meets twice a month,
uh-huh.
And for us here, it's the second and fourth Wednesday of every month. And then, first we do our money-raising thing. Actually, we don't do local money-raising. We send our money into General Chapter in Portland, and it goes to different, different things there. And their star points are all, they're based on Bible stories.
I see.
That's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it isn't any particular denomination. Anybody could,
mm-hmm.
could belong to it.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, it's kind of more of a social organization.
Is that right?
Than anything.
Mm-hmm.
What?
How do they support the hospital?
Well, not Eastern Star.
Some of the money raising projects go to the hospital. I don't know
which one. Nile does. Our Daughters of the Nile is a women's organization, and it would be kind of like the auxiliary of the Shriners.
Uh-huh.
And they're the same as the Shriners. That's their main thing is raising money for the Shrine Hospital.
I see.
And the Nile does that. We do a lot of raising money for the Shrine Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then people down there closer work at the hospital, the same as at the local hospital here, the women, the pink ladies, you know, that work.
Mm-hmm.
They do that at Portland, the ones that live down there close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then the Grand Chapter has their meeting once a year, and for several years now it's been at Pendleton at the convention center there.
Mm-hmm.
It used to always be in Portland, but then several years now they've come to Pendleton for it, which everybody seems to like better than Portland.
They like Pendleton better than Portland?
Yeah, they do seem to.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Now, you said that Bill Burke spoke at one of the chapter meetings or group meetings that you were involved with.
In Pendleton, he did at the, it's the Roundup Grounds, isn't it, where they have
you're talking about the convention center there, and the old armory that was converted into
that. Yeah, he did do a program there one time, and I know he had on his whole Indian regalia, and it just seems to me that he had possibly some young kids there, and I don't remember now, it's been about 10 years ago, and I don't remember now what they did, but anyway, it was quite interesting. Everybody really enjoyed the things that he told them and the things that he showed them and so on.
Nope, one more item here. I have a note here. We had talked in your husband's interview about the Zuber Dance Hall that was down on Washington Street. It was a public dance hall. And I have a note also that says that the owner was Lena's roommate. Is that true?
She didn't have a Zuber Hall, but after the dance hall closed up, she rented that hall and and had a skating rink in there.
Oh.
And then later, she called it Arella's Garden, and it was kind of a dinner dance place.
Did you ever go there?
I never did skate there. I used to go to the Zuber Hall to the dances, and then we have gone to Arella's Garden to eat.
They had a restaurant there.
Uh-huh.
Now, where was this place from Washington? Zuber Dance Hall.
Well, what was it, Buck? Where was it?
It was a U.S. Bank parking lot. It's on Washington Bank Street. Right in there where the parking lot is, right adjoining the SAC Annex.
Kind of in that alley space behind it, or?
Well, it faced Washington Avenue and continued on back to the alley.
Oh, I see. I see. So let's talk about this for a minute. Since you had been there, Zuber Dance Hall. Is this a place to go dance? What did you do? Pay a fee and
I imagine so. I think it probably cost about 2 bits to get in.
Uh-huh.
And then they had a dance band. There was at that time it was called Lindsay's, I think.
The band?
The band was probably.
Uh-huh.
And they had, it would be probably 5 or 6 members in it, probably.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They'd have a trumpet and a clarinet and probably a piano and a drum and saxophone, very likely.
Now, was it just strictly dancing? Did they serve food or
drinks? No, they didn't. No, they didn't. No. No, they didn't. I don't recall that they served anything in there at all. It was just a dance.
Uh-huh. And so, did you know this owner then? Was she your roommate, or?
Arella was, yes.
Arella was her name.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. At that time, she was Arella Holloway, and now she is Arella Chadwick.
She's still around.
She lives in Tillamook.
Oh.
She comes up every year, her second husband. She and her first husband divorced, and her second husband passed away a few years ago. He's buried at Cove, so she comes up every Memorial Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so we usually get together once a year.
Did you go to college together?
Uh-huh.
You did?
Yeah.
So was she a teacher? Did she finish?
Yes, and she taught briefly, and then after she moved to Tillamook, she taught down there for a good number of years, and I don't really know how long she taught, but she did teach down there for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Do you know how it was that she came to do these things that she did? Was that just
no, I always did wonder, because she was really a very quiet person.
It sounds like she was very enterprising.
Very.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know just exactly how come she...
Could they get a lot of people into this dance hall?
Yes.
A couple hundred?
I don't know whether they quite had, usually had that many. They would have probably 150 or something.
Like. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that would be a lot.
Times 25 cents, we're looking at a lot of quarters there.
Right.
Was that open every day? Was that a weekend thing?
A weekend. I don't think it was through the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was weekend.
Like Saturday,
Saturday
Sunday?
Night.
Friday, Saturday?
Saturday night.
Uh-huh. And then you say she turned that into a restaurant after that.
Yeah, after it was Zuber Hall.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know who had it as a Zuber Hall, but then she rented it and ran it. Well, she had their skating rink for maybe about a year there, but she had a skating rink. And then she turned that into Arella's Garden and had the restaurant.
Uh-huh.
And it was more of a dinner dance thing that she had at that time.
Would that have been considered fine dining in this area?
I think it would have been.
Mm-hmm.